One other special praise. We've had one that has come and said that they want to be baptized. Exciting news. And so we're planning a baptism in the near future. And if there's anyone else that wants to be baptized, you've been born again of the Spirit of God and you haven't been baptized yet, let us know. And we're planning that in the near future. So take note of that. Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's turn there. Today we're planning to look at the first two verses. I described it as words of counsel for Timothy. Well, that's the whole book. But anyway, the first two verses. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Paul is trying to encourage Timothy in the midst of sufferings and difficulties. And he shares these words with him today, with us. Are you faithful? Are you a faithful person? Are you a faithful young person? I guess if we sat down and had a lengthy evaluation, am I a faithful Christian? Am I a faithful husband or wife? Am I a faithful parent or child? Am I a faithful brother or sister? Am I a faithful church member? Am I a faithful friend? Am I a faithful prayer warrior? Am I a faithful student of the Word of God? I'm afraid that we might not have too high of a score on some of these things. God's looking for people of faith. He said when Jesus returns, will we find faith on the earth? Are we trusting God and are we faithful in following Him? Two things that Paul tries to encourage him, Timothy here. First is, be strengthened by grace. And second, entrust the truth to faithful men. Basically, Timothy, learn to be faithful, living by the grace of God that is found in Jesus Christ. And then find other faithful people and entrust these truths to them. That's the simple point of the passage for us today. And so he begins, you then, very emphatic in the Greek. You then, Timothy, by the way, you then, as opposed to those guys I just mentioned that were going the wrong direction, and the one that was doing the right thing, you follow him. You then, my child, not son, but my child, term of endearment. They had a close relationship together, Paul and Timothy. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, other translations say, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This is a present tense. This is an ongoing thing. This is something that should always be happening in your lives. Okay? But it's also a passive imperative. So it's an imperative, it's a command, okay, but it's a passive imperative. You say, what in the world does that mean? Well, an active voice means it's something you do. A middle voice means it's something you do to yourself. And passive voice means someone else is doing it to you. All right? Well, we don't strengthen ourselves in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We need to be strengthened by the Lord. It's His grace. It's found in Jesus Christ. And we need to receive this strength so that we can be strengthened. One interlinear put it, be empowered by grace. The Apostle Paul said, you know what? I labor more than all of you. And you look at his life and you say, yeah, that's true. He says, but it wasn't me. It was God's grace. You think of George Whitefield, you know, just wearing himself down, going around preaching and preaching. He's up, he's in a field preaching at 5 a.m. and there's thousands of people out there ready for it. And he finishes there and he goes to the next place and he preaches there. And by the end of the day, he's exhausted because he's preached in several places and he's traveled in between. Or you think of Charles Spurgeon. He was preaching like 10 times a week. So when did he find time to study? Well, he was constantly reading and he had a photographic memory, so it just came to him. He's just a genius. Or you think of D.L. Moody and the people around Moody said, whoa, we just can't keep up with this guy. Whoa, he wears us out. He's so busy. He says, where do these people find all this strength? It's the grace of God. It's available to you if you're willing to submit to it. As Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's where the strength comes from. If you try to do things in your own strength, if you try to live the Christian life in your own strength, you'll get very discouraged. How do I know? I've tried it. I found out. Okay. We probably all tried it. All right. It doesn't work well that way. The only person who can live the Christian life is Jesus Christ. And He wants to live it through you. And then we submit to Him and His power. That's it. By the way, the same thought is in Ephesians 6:10 where it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. It's the same phrase in the passive. In other words, be strengthened. Find your strength in the Lord. That's how you become strong in the Lord. You find it from Him. And so this grace that is greater than our sin, this grace that is the wonderful grace of Jesus, this grace is the source of the power, and the source of the grace is Jesus Christ. So the power comes from the grace and the grace comes from Christ. And so we're empowered as we receive this grace from the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 1:17, the law was given through Moses, but what? Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Thayer in his lexical dictionary says, grace is the merciful kindness by which God, exerting His holy influence upon souls, turns them to Christ. And then He keeps them, He strengthens them, He increases them in Christian faith, He increases them in Christian knowledge and affection, and He kindles them to the exercise of the Christian virtues. So you then, Timothy, my dear child in the faith, be strengthened by the grace of God. This can happen for Timothy because he's a child of God, and therefore it's available for all of us. We're child of God. The same grace that was there for Timothy, the same grace that was there for Whitfield and Spurgeon and Moody and all the others, is the same grace that's available to us. It's found in Jesus Christ. Oh, the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ in knowing Him and loving Him. Do you really know Him and love Him? And find your strength in Him. It's not in you, it's in Him. By the way, the very use here of, you then, my child, be strengthened in the by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, it speaks then of this process that goes on in our lives. The process of growing. Say, wow, Genevieve had a big baby. 9 pounds, 1 ounce. Whoo! Guess what? Every single one of you here today look bigger than that. And you were once, most of you were probably smaller than that. Well, you were smaller than that in the womb. But when you came out, you probably were smaller than that too. But you grew! As Christians, it's the same thing. We're born again of the Spirit of God, but then we are supposed to be growing. And what does Peter say in, at the end of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18? But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. One writer put it this way. He said the use of this present imperative emphasizes the progress expected in this strengthening. It's not accomplished all at once. You should be stronger today than yesterday. You should be stronger tomorrow than today. You should be growing in this. Growth is the normal action of a child. It should characterize the life in the spiritual realm as well. Physically, children grow by making use of every aid in the realm of food and rest, exercise, hygiene, and so on. And spiritually, we grow by using God's means in the realms of grace provided in Christ. This inexhaustible supply of God's favor made available in Christ is abundant to strengthen, to sustain, and to cause spiritual growth and health for you as a child of God. You can grow. No, you must grow. It has to happen. It's becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ daily in your life. That's what God's goal is for you. And so Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, don't try to obey all my imperatives with your own strength. And by the way, this should be always true, that whenever we're giving you these imperatives, and somebody wrote a book, The Imperatives of Preaching. Paul would begin his epistles with the indicatives, telling you the truths. And then he gives you the imperatives. Here's what you must do. But never try to do it in your own strength. You find your strength in the Lord. That's it. So in chapter 1, verse 6, where Paul said to Timothy, fan into flame your gift. It must be by the power of the Spirit of God, the grace of God that comes from Christ. Because God has given you a spirit of power and of love and self-control. When he said in chapter 1, verse 8, don't be ashamed of the testimony about the Lord or of me as prisoner, you don't do it in your own strength. You do it in the strength that God supplies. When he said, share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God, the same thing was true. When he said in 1:13, follow the pattern of the sound words you've heard from me, the same thing is true. You find your strength in the Lord. That's why you need to start every day in the Word and in prayer. Seeking God. How do you ever get through a day without that? Not very well. Not very well. In 1:14 he said, guard the good deposit by the Holy Spirit. With the strength, of course, that the grace of the Lord provides. So daily empowerment must come from Christ by the Holy Spirit giving us this enabling grace. This wonderful grace of Jesus. This grace that is greater than all of our sin. Amen? Amen. Practice it. I'm speaking to myself too. This has been such a good reminder this week. How we must depend upon God by His Spirit. This grace from the Lord Jesus Christ. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And then verse 2. How does it begin? And. You know what and means? Continuing the thought. And. Something more to add to this. Okay. Not only are you to be strengthened in the grace that is found in Christ Jesus, and here's the next thing. What you heard from me, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust this to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. All right, what you heard from me, this is the truth that is in Jesus. That's what I've been teaching you, Timothy. I've taught you the truth that is in Jesus. Okay? So what you have heard from me, you heard it in the presence of many witnesses. In other words, it wasn't some secret teaching, and it wasn't something I only said once. It's something I said over and over and over and over again. By the way, that's what preaching is all about. You come on Sunday and I keep telling you the same things over and over again because you forget. And I forget too, and I have to be reminded too, you see. There's only so many themes in the Bible, we just keep going over them. Because these are the truths that we need to live our lives by. So he says, take these truths that you've heard from me, this is what I've taught you over and over and over again, and entrust it to faithful men. Give it as a trust. By the way, when you receive the Word of God here on Sundays, this is like getting a trust from God. You are to make wise use of it. God is trusting you with His Word. Think about that. What if you're untrustworthy? It's the same thing as being unfaithful. God's given you the Word. Are you faithful to it? Again, we tend to fail. And that's why we have to repent daily and confess our sins and come back to the Lord. And I'm so thankful. Aren't you so thankful for that verse in the Psalms? I think it's in Psalms. Maybe it's in Isaiah. He knows our frame. He knows that we're but dust.
Psalms 103.
Thank you.
14.
Is it any other place? I think there's another place too, but thank you very much. Okay. He knows our frame, that we're just but dust. But it's a trust that you give to faithful men. Faithful men. This is in particular probably referring to the elders of the church. You want to build up elders and pass along, but the principle is the same, that you want to build up godly men and pass it along. Godly women, pass it along, and so on. Those who are faithful. Men of character, men of integrity. We need strong, faithful leaders. By the way, this is not talking about any kind of apostolic succession, as some would try to teach from this passage. This is not what it's talking about at all. This is talking about just faithful people continuing on, sharing the word. Well, are you faithful? You say, well, what all do I need to be faithful in? What's interesting, the Lord Jesus shared with us a threefold test of faithfulness back in Luke chapter 16, if you want to turn there just for a moment. In Luke chapter 16 and starting in verse 10, Jesus said, "One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much." Here's the first test. Are you faithful in little things? The prophet said, don't despise the day of little things. How many people, it's only a little thing. I don't need to do that today. I can just pass over that. It's not important. That's how God is evaluating you. See, I want to do the big things. Learn to do the little things. Whatever it might be. Whatever God wants you to do, this is a small little thing, but you're faithful at it. That's how you build trust. Being faithful in what is little. It is so easy to try to pass by the little and think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. It's called pride. I don't need to do that. That's for lesser people to do. I know we would never say that out loud, right? And yet, how many times do we think that? And I'm always watching, and I'm so encouraged by so many of you. But what I used to watch was when there was something that needed to be done, who would first volunteer and say, "Well, I'll go do it. I'll go do it." Or even saw it before it was mentioned that something needed to be done, and they just took care of it. Something happened, and there was a need for someone to do something, and someone just got up and did it first. They cared for the little things. Now, usually, it was people who had the gift of serving, but we're all to learn from that so that we learn to serve and take care of little things as well. It is so important. But Jesus goes on from there. In verse 11, he says, "If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches?" Are you faithful in unrighteous wealth? That's interesting, isn't it? Wealth is unrighteous. Are you faithful in unrighteous wealth? We have to be reminded, don't we, that any wealth, any money that we get is not ours. That's a hard lesson to learn. We like to think, I worked hard, I earned this, now I deserve this, or I deserve this, or I deserve this. I owe it to myself because I worked so hard and got this. And God says, it's not yours. I've just entrusted it to you, and you are to use it for my glory. Wow. How do you do that? Well, the first thing that I do is as soon as I get anything, I say, okay, Lord, I want to give you your part first. First part goes to the Lord, at least a tenth. And I write a check, give it to the church. That's the first thing. And then if the Lord directs me to give to some other ministries, On top of that, I add that and do that. And then I say, Lord, what are you going to do with the rest? Guide and direct. Help me to have wisdom. If someone has a need, help me to know how to help. That's how you do it. You be faithful. And again, it starts with being faithful with just a little bit of money. My parents taught me that if I earned a dime, I gave a penny to the Lord. Or two. Okay? That's the first thing you do. You're faithful in little things, then you're faithful with unrighteous mammon. Then it goes on to the third thing, verse 12. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? How do you handle things that belong to other people? You say, when do I do that? Well, have you ever borrowed anything? Brothers and sisters, have you ever borrowed anything? How'd you take care of it? Did you give it back at least as good as it was? If you messed it up, did you buy him something new? You know, being faithful belongs to another. Say, I never have anything of anybody others to handle. Yes, you do. How about their time? What do you do with other people's time? Do you ever think about that? Oh, we're going to have a meeting. What time's the meeting? 10 o'clock. How many people are coming to the meeting? 10 people. And you come 5 minutes late. You say, you're late. You're 5 minutes late. You wasted time. It was only 5 minutes. No, it was 50 minutes. 50 minutes? I wasted 50 minutes? Yeah, 5 minutes for 10 different people. That's 50 minutes wasted. Oh, I never thought of it that way. Wait a minute. Okay. That's important, right? It's handling something that belongs to somebody else. How about another person's reputation? What do you say about them behind their back? That's handling what belongs to somebody else. A good name is more to be chosen than great riches. You want people to talk well of you, you talk well of them. This is the kind of faithfulness that we're looking for. People that are faithful in these things. Faithful in what is little. Faithful with unrighteous wealth. Faithful in handling what belongs to other people. And so pass it on in trust to faithful people. The truths of God's word. Now, as I said in this passage back in 2 Timothy 2, this is particularly talking about elders, most likely, but we're to entrust things to faithful people, faithful women, faithful children, faithful young people. Anyone who's faithful, we're to entrust this with them. One way to put it this way, on a general level, a similar process involves all believers, whether they're parents, Sunday school teachers, youth leaders. They're responsible to the best of their ability to pass on God's word to those under their care. And anybody that we have opportunity to disciple, this is what we're to be encouraging them with. And by the way, it always goes two ways. Okay? Husband, you're trying to teach and encourage your wife and children. Guess what? You learn things from them too. You're the boss at work and you're telling the people what to do and you learn from them as well. Okay? It goes both ways, wherever you're at. We learn from each other. Even from those who are younger and less mature, we can learn things. But these faithful ones then are to be ones who are able to teach others also. They are competent. They are worthy. They're able. It's always the idea of discipling one another. Are you a disciple? Are you a discipler? You should be both. You should be talking about the Lord Jesus wherever you go. If you know more, you're helping them, but you're learning from them at the same time. Pass it on. Hold to these truths. And remember something. It's not too many weeks away, Lord willing. We're going to be in 2 Timothy 2:15, which all of you have already memorized, right? It says, do your best, be diligent, study, to present yourself to God as an approved worker who has no need to be ashamed because he can handle accurately the word of God, the word of truth. That's what we want to be. That's the kind of people we want to be. We want to be faithful to God and to his word. May God help us. Where do you find the strength to do all this? The grace that is in Christ Jesus. May God bless you all. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We are so undeserving, but you bless us so. And the grace that comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is absolutely necessary for every day. And so, Father, we just ask that you would bless us in this way, that we would submit ourselves totally and completely to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can accomplish your will in all things. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.